Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my God! Good morning.
Okay, hold on.
Did we need some music? We did need some music, didn't we?
Hold on. I got it.
You got it. I'm sorry. There was a whole phone incident right before.
Oh, we're so professional. It's painful.
Right? Good morning.
Okay.
Crank that up a little bit, lady.
There we go. Great leaves, you know the druid style. He asked me, do you know about the emerald dream? If you're talking about my eyes, sir, your flattery supreme. Yes, they gleam, but that's not what I meant. The dream's a place where all world nature's content.
All right, we're going to roll it back down so I can actually talk.
Yes.
Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you happen to be at this moment in time. It is, what is today? June 27th, 2011, mm-hmm. And you are listening to another edition of Gamer Girls Radio. This is supposed to be lunchtime with Ginger and Corey, but if you haven't noticed, I'm not Ginger. I'm not a cop.
I know.
I'm not as hot as Ginger. You know, my necklace isn't as tight.
She got new necklaces.
She's going to hurt me. And I'm going to like it. But so I'm Snow White, bringing the nighttime to the daytime, having to behave myself. And then, of course, we have Corey, who's always here, Miss Corey / Game and Atrix. Hello.
Rawr.
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 Yeah, it's one of those days.
We've been having some deeply intense discussions about Second Life. I need to write some more of my virtual Sex and the City and get everybody updated.
I need to start because I have got some drama going on.
Right? There is. Oh, there's always so much drama.
All right.
What was I going to say? Okay, so anyway, let me just tell you people out there, this has nothing to do with gaming. Well, it does, okay, because, you know, gamers need to take showers. I don't know why people in my neighborhood just decided they needed to just let the water loose in the streets. So let me just – please, people, gamers have to take showers. Unhappy gamer Corey means I play GTA in real life with my real truck. I'm going to need y'all to not do that, okay? Okay. Okay, pumpkins? lots of good news going on this morning. Snow?
Am I first?
You don't have to. I got some good news for you people out there playing Brink, if you didn't mind, darling.
That's cool. Go ahead.
So you people out there that have Brink and want to show off your gaming prowess, we sound so excited.
Don't we? We're like, okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. You do it. Yeah, it is. It is Monday, people. I am trying to pep it up. All right, hold on. Woosah. Okay, here we go. So anyway, you people.
Did you just woosah?
I did. I went woosah. Okay. The beginning of July, which is in a few days, Console Sports League, the Console Sports League, also called the CSL, will launch the Brink Cup or the Brink Cup series for Xbox and PlayStation 3. The first phase of the competition will consist of 4 2-on-2 cups with 4 slots each. Top 2 teams for every cup will automatically advance onto the next stage, and the second round will have 2 cups with 4 teams participating in each of them. Once again, the 2 best teams will advance to the next phase of the competition, and in the end, 4 teams will face off against each other in the final round to determine the best of the Brink Cup series. Again, this starts on July 1st. I do have the time. Unfortunately, it is in UK time, and though I love you UK people, I do not know your military time thing, 1,800 hours, whatever that is. The sign-ups for qualification cups have already been opened. We do have that link up for you on the site. You can check our development link. What is it? No, I'm sorry, events link. Of course, all the information concerning the CSL is at consoles.net/EU/Brink-360. And don't worry, that is up on the site. I know I said it really fast. I don't know what the prizes are. They did not tell us. I'm hoping that it's good, considering they made me read that long-ass link just now. And that's the end of that. Snow, back to you. How's the weather?
The weather here is actually pretty rainy.
And how's the traffic?
The traffic is backed up for miles and miles. There's just cars. Okay, I don't. I live in a really small town, so we don't really have traffic.
The traffic around the cow at the corner
has been backed up. The cow just won't move.
It's backed up to the chicken about a mile. Yes. Y'all are laughing, but that's how they used to, I used to give directions when I lived in Spring, because there was nothing out there when I lived there. There literally was some cows at the corner. I'd be like, turn left at those cows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's well, I got to be going, traveling to my parents' house. They live out in the country. Have to give direction, or like, I didn't know the way there one time because, you know, they moved. So my dad was giving me directions, and he says, you got to go around Skunk Curve.
No, sir.
And the reason they call it Skunk Curve, ladies and gentlemen, is because there was a family of skunks that lived nearby, and the curve normally stunk, and that was how you knew you passed Skunk Curve.
Didn't anybody think they might want to check why it's...
I didn't ask. But anyway, on to news. I have to do this one, because this is just one of those WTF... I almost said the bad word, but I changed.
Yes.
This is one of those WTF stories you're just like, huh? Okay, apparently a man ships himself across the country in a box while gaming online. Yeah.
Wow.
Let's check this out. Jordan Wayne Long is preparing for his summer holiday 7 days locked in a crate traveling from Bald Knob, Arkansas. That's a funny name. I knew I was going to laugh at that. Traveling from Arkansas to Portland, Oregon. Yes, you read that right. Long is a performance and video artist. That's in quotation marks. According to his website, and he plans to travel by crate for a week with no connection to the outside world, aside from his Lord of the Rings online account. He has said that this relates to his study of post-traumatic stress disorder and coping mechanisms related to PTSD. Many sufferers of the disorder escape into online communities where they can reinvent themselves and society in which they live. The actual travel will take place. Oh, hold on, I missed something. I'm sorry, I'm really tired. It is Monday, y'all. So, apparently he keeps the public updated on his exploits through Twitter and through a personal blog. He's also created a blog for his in-game character, which he plans to update regularly from the road. He'll be playing as Townsfolk, a level 40 dwarf, on the Middle Door server. So if you see Townsfolk on the Middle Door server, that's him. No word yet on whether or not his mom will be delivering regular plates of cookies to his crate. She totally should. The actual travel will take place from July 1st to July 7th, concluding in a presentation at one of 1430's Portland Art Galleries. A friend of Long's, Brady Roberts, will be shipping the crate with Long inside on her truck. Okay, I just got to say, I don't think this has anything to do with PTSD or any study revolving around PTSD. This is a dude that wants an excuse to play Lord of the Rings online for as long as possible. That's what that is.
I think it can probably relate to some other things, but not necessarily PTSD is what I don't think.
Yeah,
There's no connection.
There's no. How can he be doing a study on PTSD he doesn't have PTSD?
I think he says he's. I think maybe he thinks he's giving it to himself by being inside the crate, but.
That makes no sense, though.
It doesn't, because preemies, people who are preemies, and those of you out there are welcome to try to prove me wrong. I'm also a preemie. We like enclosed spaces. It's not stressful nor traumatic to be in it. I'd be just fine. I'd be happy as long as I had some games to play, something to do. But, yeah, I wouldn't be stressed when you took me out. I'd probably get a good nap.
I seriously think this dude just wants to play Lord of the Rings online for 7 days straight and not have anyone think he's disgusting. I mean, can you imagine the smell when he steps out of that crate?
Stop it.
That is nasty.
I don't want to imagine the smell. That's nasty.
I had to do that one. I saw that. I read that over the weekend, and I was like, that's nasty.
That's nasty. I'm thinking of that commercial with the little girl. That's for babies. That's nasty.
That's for babies.
Babies. That's what that is, what he's doing. That's for nasty people. All right. All right. Oh, lots of interesting things happening over the weekend. Yeah. All right. So let me just say this because, you know, we've been hard on our hackers. Maybe they heard us talking. Who knows?
Maybe.
Before I do this, I want to say something. I got a Twitter early Saturday morning. Somebody thought we'd been hacked. No, we were not hacked. Our server was acting crazy. Ah, you woke me up out of a sound sleep. I'm not happy with you. You know who you are. But thank you for the heads up anyway.
Wait. So, oh, man, you know what? I'm surprised we didn't get hacked, actually, because after Thursday's show, wow.
It's a good show. But
for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, check it out.
Yes, please go back and listen. Last Thursday, we had a lot of supposed hackers on. We were very worried we were going to get hacked, but apparently they like us.
Yeah. Maybe because we're opinionated and we just don't give a crap.
Or maybe because we have beautiful fluffy cakes. Okay.
Yeah.
So Lulzsec is saying that they are done attacking things. They ended their 50-day cyber attack. Is that how long it was supposed to be? They didn't tell anybody. And they said they will now disappear from existence. They're quoted as saying, for the past 50 days, we've been disrupting and exposing corporations, governments, often the general population itself, and quite possibly everything in between, just because we could. The group wrote in a message uploaded to the Pirate Bay file-sharing website on Saturday, it's time to say bon voyage. And the message also concluded, we will now sail into the distance. The Lulzsec URL also claimed that the group was comprised of 6 members, and it was always the plan to run a 50-day hacking free-for-all and then stop.
No, it wasn't.
Sort of like a Bonnie and Clyde. You know what happened to them, didn't you? the Lulz claimed responsibility for attacking various websites and services, including Sony Pictures, Nintendo, The Escapist, which we love, EVE Online, which we also love, Bethesda. We also love Epic Games, League of Legends, Central Intelligence Agency, yes, the CIA, the U.S. Senate, and the Arizona Department of Public Safety. And also, they didn't put on this list, but PBS.
I still don't understand why.
I don't understand any of it, but that's the worst of the why. While the group believed to be a breakaway group from Anonymous, oh, not good, claims it was always their intention to stop after 50 days, some recent developments may have had more to do with their departure from the scene. First, the most obvious reason might be that the group of hackers have caught the attention of the FBI and CIA, who will not sit back and let their security be compromised, yes, without some sort of response. Told y'all, when you hear FBI, Secondly, there are other hackers who apparently don't like this group very much and have promised to reveal their real identities to the public. Rumor has it that it's already happened, but it's yet to be confirmed. But the disappearing act might not be enough to save them. Panda Labs technical director Louis Caron thinks these young people have the false impression that they won't ever be caught. And he's quoted as saying, in the Lulz group, they don't know what they're doing, and when it comes to breaking into places, he says it's their way to say the security here sucks and we're going to show you why. Based on the way they act, I would say they're very young people. Yes, I'd say the same thing.
I would too.
The guys are upsetting a lot of people. They think they'll never be caught, and that could be their biggest mistake. Whatever the reasons for the group's sudden departure, companies that do business on the Internet must be breathing a collective sigh of relief. And this is via Game Politics and also via Google News, AFP.
Let me step in here real quick, because, you know, me and this group, it's not a love-hate relationship. It's just a hate relationship.
Oh,
really? Because, you know, I have friends who have done some hacking in the past. Mm-hmm. And obviously I'm not going to give names away. Duh. But
stop pointing at me.
I'm not talking about Corey, although she might have been. I don't know. But anyway.
I can neither confirm nor deny the allegations.
The views of Snow White do not necessarily... But I do have some friends who did some hacking in the past. They don't now because they got older and they learned that it's a stupid thing to do. But they got older, and now they're just looking back, and they're saying that these are the type of people who give hackers a bad name to begin with. Lulzsec, literally, Lulz is, for those of you who don't know, that's like internet speak, tech speak for laughing. Lulz. It's like sarcasm, okay? So Lulzsec, this whole hacking group of whatever, 6 people, 50 people, 100 people, 2 people, 1 person, I don't know, whoever these people are, doing this just for the lulz, just for the laughs, that's what gives all hackers a bad name. And their targets that they hacked into, there was no rhyme or reason to it. There was no, they weren't making a stand, nothing. They admitted, we're just doing this because we can. We don't care. We just want to have some fun. And 50 days, no. You're stopping because you're about to get your butt busted. That's why you're stopping. You think if you stop, no one will get you. I got news for you, dudes. You broke into the CIA. Not smart.
And this is not Die Hard, where you're leaps and bounds ahead of them. You may have caught them slipping a little bit, but trust me, trust, they are coming after you. Mm-hmm. I have told y'all my FBI story. They found me in under 30 seconds. Now, you may say, oh, you don't have our security. I didn't even leave a name. I didn't leave a number. It was an anonymous tip. And I sent an email, and they called me and told me my whole life history. 30 seconds it took for me to send this email and walk away from my computer before my phone rang. Oh, aren't you Corey Roberts? You live at blah, 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 blah. You have this, 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 and this, and you used to live here, blah, blah, blah. Your phone number used to be this, blah, blah, blah. We just want to verify who you are. Yeah.
You're like, oh, crap.
I'm all hide under the desk. Is there a sniper? And I didn't even do anything. I was reporting a crime. So, yes, people, trust me, the FBI knows who you are. Mm-hmm. And maybe they were staying out of it as long as you didn't bother them. Maybe they said, you know, that's that business's business. That's Sony's business. They got hacked. That's, you know, whoever's business, they got hacked. But when you started messing with the government, bad thing. You know people come up missing, right? Okay, I'm just saying. I'm not saying I agree with the people coming up missing, but those are people that I don't mess with. Seriously.
I've never had an experience like that with the government, but I'm kind of scared to try, so.
Oh, you people that live in my neighborhood, thanks for the picture of the water. Anyway, I didn't know we had people that live in the neighborhood that listen. Hello, neighbors.
Hi, guys.
Hello, neighbors. Thank you. Are you asking me to do something about it? I don't think they listen to our podcast. Comcast does, but nobody else does. Oh, that's right. Snow, you weren't on the week before last when Comcast decided to overcharge me. And when I started talking on the podcast, I started getting Twitters from them. They wanted me to shut up. Please shut that girl up.
Oh, you told me about
that. I did? Oh, please.
Yeah,
shut that chick up.
Because we trash talk them all the time.
I was trash talking them. That's when they started Twittering me. What can we help you with? What can we do? And the underlying message, please shut this chick up. Shut her up. Yeah. All right.
I'm still waiting for Tommy Tallarico to hear my ode to him so he can just call me.
You know what?
Hi, Tom.
I will make sure that he gets your message today. I will tell him today that you are interested in him. You love him. Although I did remind you all out there, Tommy has a penchant for the tall blondie people. So
yeah, and I'm not blonde and I'm not tall, so...
Well, you got one thing he likes. We'll talk about that after the show, though. Anyway.
Back on to what we were talking about. I just lost my story. Hold on. Let me find it again. I got so much crap open. Here we go. All right. Talking about hackers. So BioWare has offered an apology and an update on Neverwinter Nights forum hacks. On June 14th, BioWare informed forum users that its Neverwinter Nights forum had been hacked and forum accounts were likely compromised. That happened on June 14th. On June 23rd, the company offered an update on the situation and an apology to users for the inconvenience. The update was posted on the BioWare social network and penned by Aaron Flynn, Studio GM, BioWare Edmonton VP, Electronic Arts. And this is a quote, by the way. We are continuing our investigation of the unauthorized intrusion of the decade-old BioWare server system supporting the Neverwinter Nights forums. As we previously stated, we have determined that no credit card data was compromised from the servers, nor did we ever have or store sensitive data like social security numbers. Our investigation shows that information such as usernames, encrypted passwords, email addresses, mailing addresses, names, phone numbers, CD keys, and birth dates from accounts on the server system associated with Neverwinter Nights may have been compromised. Okay, one thing, that's sensitive information, guys. Okay? Accordingly, in an abundance of caution, we are emailing those whose accounts were potentially affected, either disabling their forum accounts or resetting their EA account passwords. We take the security of your information very seriously and regret any inconvenience this may have caused our customers and fans. If your username, email address, and or password on your Neverwinter Nights account are similar to those you use on other sites, we recommend changing your password to those sites as well. We advise all of our fans to always be aware of any suspicious emails or account activity and report any suspicious emails and account activity to customer support and they give you the number. Now, when they say that no sensitive information was, no sensitive data was stored there, mailing addresses, email addresses, names, phone numbers. That's sensitive information, guys. Corey, I think you're muted again, hon.
You know, I am.
Okay. I was wondering. I was waiting for you to respond. I thought you were muted.
I've been over here just talking away all the whole time, but apparently.
That's sensitive information. I mean, if they can get your name, your mailing address, they can figure out everything else. You know, that's really all they need.
This is very true. Well,
so it's good that they're offering an apology. It's good that no credit card numbers were given out or anything like that. But still, that's some serious crap right there. So hackers, stop it.
Right?
Gosh.
Please stop it. Gotta love being us. All right. So you...
We're going to get hacked.
Oh, well, if they feel like they need to, I'll try to take it as a weird compliment. Okay.
Right?
So you people out there that are playing Fear, you're having some trouble with here. You need a little help getting through your game. Well, we got just what you need. I'm not going to share the story with you, but you can pop over to our site, GameAndAtrix.com. Look up in the top where it's featured, Fear Tips and Tricks. You can take a peek through that. And down at the bottom, got something special for you. Yeah. Underneath where all our social sharing is a little PDF you can download with all
right.
the little tips and tricks.
We're hooking y'all up.
Yes, because we love you. Yes, that's good, listeners. Yes, you are. Okay, so.
Yes, you're a good boy. Yes, you're me.
Oh, we're so going to get kicked off. Okay, so Pac-Man creator. Do you know who that is? Toru Watani?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Man is legend.
That's right. He is legend. He should wear a shirt that says "I am legend" just all the time. He's the developer of the arcade version of Pac-Man. Is currently criticizing the industry. He says the focus right now is on quick, simple games at the expense of more memorable projects. And he's right. I was thinking the same thing this weekend. He is so right. He says if you look at games coming out today, it's doubtful that any of us will be talking about them in 10 years' time. This is what a recent interview he did with our homies, our home slices. Yes, I'm stealing your word. Somebody out there that I spoke to over the weekend.
That'd be me.
Yeah.
I said it.
Was that you, Home Slice?
Yeah.
At GameCareerGuide.com. They did an interview with him. He says, we have to focus on making games that people will remember a decade from now or else we'll lose our audience, probably. He says, you've had this flood of very simple games on the iPhone and social networks. They're very easy games. And by easy, I mean way easy to design and to pump out by the dozen. I think more thought needs to go toward how games present themselves to the user, to how they can be made more fun. He also discussed the importance of developers' focus, suggesting that making products isn't something developers should have to worry about. They need to concentrate on making good games and really pouring their souls into them. And I know you're like, what does he know? Well, when I say Pac-Man, you know exactly who that is. That's what he knows. He created Pac-Man back in 1980 while he was with Namco Games. He is now currently the lecturer at Tokyo Polytechnic University. I would love to meet him and like kiss his hand. He is like ultimate game royalty. He's like the king. I just want to curse.
Right.
So I have to agree with him. Over the weekend, I am working on writing something I'm calling the top five Facebook games we wish were full games, not Facebook games. And in playing, it's hard to find games that are even worthy of being on our little top five list. It was very hard because most of them suck.
They really do. I mean, it is so sad nowadays. To try to talk about these new games coming out, and you're just like, eh.
So not excited. And I think our simulator genre, which is my favorite game genre, is just shrinking. And some of you think that Farmville and our simulators, they're not. They're really not. Not in the strictest sense. There's no – people who like Sims, we like micromanaging, and there's no micromanaging mm-hmm. there. I don't get to see how good my crops did when I logged off or – And there's a couple games like that on Facebook, amazingly enough, that do have those in them, but they're not as widely played because some of you are like, it's too hard. It's not hard. You're just using that other crap that you play is what
it's
it is.
It's too hard. I can't do it.
I don't know. I don't want to know how much profits I made when I logged off and if people – yeah, you do. That's the fun part of playing a simulator, or don't play. So anyway, that's our news this morning. Go over and check that out. The interview is, again, over at GameCareerGuide.com. If you don't feel like going there, you can also find it on GamesIndustry.biz, and I think there's a couple other places it's up. Really good interview with him. And, again, he is legend. I think I need to – I'm going to make him that T-shirt and send it to him.
You should.
I am gaming legend. That's what that is.
Yeah, that's what – because I am legend. That's a movie.
Yeah.
But I am gaming legend. Dude, he should rock that at all times.
That's right.
All times.
I'm going to find his address. Lulzak, can you help me out?
Oh, man.
Oh, they're so coming after us.
You're going to have, like, you're going to open up your email one day and have, like, 50 emails from hackers. Here's the address. We found it for you. Oh, damn.
You remember you promised a picture of your fluffy cakes? I never said that. Well, you better come up off of them, sister. Cakes or no address.
That's right.
I'll send you a picture of Snow's.
No! Those are mine. Back off.
Or look, or we'll send you, what was the picture we told last year? It was a picture of us together naked. And he fell for that. Anybody want to see that? I'm not going to tell you what it is. But if you want to see it, let us know. We'll put it up on Twitter. You're going to hate us after we put it up.
Our skin looks nice together.
Yes, we look so lovely. Wait a minute. Do I still have that picture while I'm offering to share it with people?
Are you really going to share that with people?
I surely will, because somebody has to be dirty and want to see it. And that's what you get for if you go ask for it. That's what you get.
Anyway, moving back on to news, so maybe she'll forget. there is a game that is actually going out of business. They are shutting down, and I'm surprised it hasn't shut down sooner. To be honest, Star Wars Galaxy is going to be shutting down.
I'm hit.
Now, let me tell you, I used to love this game. Love it. I had an entertainer. I had a medic. I mean, I love this game. But it is closing down. So, Star Wars Galaxies, the popular MMO created by Sony Online Entertainment and LucasArts, is shutting down by year's end. SOE announced that it planned to shut down the Star Wars-themed MMO in December of this year. They are doing this, they say, to switch the focus on the next Star Wars MMO, The Old Republic, which I'm super excited about.
I'm not.
I am. SOE President John Smedley said the closure of SWG will not affect the team because it will be transferred to an undisclosed project in Austin. An official letter to SWG players was posted on the forums laying out the bad news, and I'm going to read the letter for you.
I got the letter, but go ahead, read it.
I know, I did too, but I have to read it. Dear Star Wars Galaxies community member, we write to you today to inform you that on December 15, 2011, Sony Online Entertainment and LucasArts will end all services for Star Wars Galaxies. The shutdown of SWG is a very difficult decision, but SOE and LucasArts have mutually agreed that the end of 2011 is an appropriate time to end the game. We are extremely grateful to all the SWG fans. We have had the rare opportunity to host one of the most dedicated and passionate online gaming communities, and we truly appreciate the support we've received from each and every one of you over the course of the past 8 years. In recognition of your incredible loyalty, we are extending special fan appreciation offers to the current SWG community. We also plan to go out with a bang with a galaxy-ending in-game event in December and hope to see you all there. The details relating to these offers and events, as well as a timeline and specifics regarding the discontinuation of the service, are provided below. Again, we want to extend our heartfelt thanks to our player community for making SWG one of the best online communities in gaming history. Sincerely, Sony Online Entertainment and LucasArts. Now, this is a really good letter, and I'm excited to know how they plan on ending the galaxy of SWG. I mean, that's
going to be good.
It'll be, you know what, just the fact that they're doing that instead of just shutting down is amazing. Because there's been too many games that just closed with no, without giving a good closure to the characters. And I know they had a lot of RPers in that game, so that'll give great closure to that particular storyline that the people were working on. You know, because if it's a galaxy-ending event, then there's no more character.
It's going to explode. Okay. I'm not happy about that, I got to tell you.
I know. I knew you wouldn't be, but...
Well, here's the thing. You know, and I love me some Sony, lots of buddies over there, yay. But you know they have a tendency to say, we're going to redo the game. You're going to love it. You know, it's going to move to the new team. Remember what happened with EverQuest?
Hey, I like EverQuest 2.
I do not.
I do. I like EverQuest 2. I just hope that they don't screw up as badly as Final Fantasy did when they made another MMO.
See,
and I'm still bitter
about
it.
See how you feel about that? That's how I feel about the difference between EverQuest, the original EverQuest, and EverQuest 2. That's exactly how I feel. You messed up my game.
Have you ever played Final Fantasy 14?
No, I'm saying, but that's how you're feeling, where you feel like they've messed up your game. That's how I feel. I have no crafting. I can't make my jewelry. Fippy Darkpaw's gone. I can't seek vengeance on him.
His ghost was there.
No, I need him. It's not fun to have his ghost. I want to cut him, not his ghost. I want to torture his children. That's what the fun was.
Oh, man.
Me and Fippy Doc Parr had a long-standing feud, and you ruined it. You ruined it. You ruined it. I'm good. I'm good.
You're bitter. Funny.
I'm angry. I need my Fippy Dark Paw.
Well, for those of us who are excited about that, I just want to say, Sony, thank you for sending out such a well-worded letter and for taking the wishes of the community in mind and trying to find a way to end the storylines and end that particular game and give it closure. That's to me, that's something that I really, really appreciate, because too many games just stop. Like Auto Assault, one day it was there, the next day without warning, it's
gone.
Well,
no, they warned. They warned us. We knew it was coming.
Well, they didn't warn the average user.
True. I don't think y'all got
it. Because I'll tell you, I had a friend who renewed like 2 weeks before they closed it. So he paid for a month and couldn't even get a full month.
How's this for I Am Gaming Legend? I have in my closet boxes and boxes of Game Time. For Auto Assault, it does not exist anymore.
Nice. I think it might be safe for you to get rid of that.
No, that's going to be gaming paraphernalia. Worth money
one day.
I is smart.
I don't think it means that much to people. I'm just saying.
It might. 15 years from now, when the developers are old and they're like, you know, I remember that game I worked on. And I come up and say, remember this game? This one? How much you want for that? Oh, about $4,000 or $5,000, and you can have it. Look, it's all in pristine condition. It's still in the plastic. Look. Okay, so yeah, that's how I'm going to do that. I'm waiting. I have issues. I'm sorry. All right, so Manchester, you people in Manchester, England, you're united, and you have Comic-Con, a special Comic-Con coming just for you. Next month sees the UK's most famous Comic-Con arrive in Manchester, bringing the best in pop culture entertainment to the city for the first time ever. This is going to be held at Manchester Central, formerly GMEX, on the 30th of July. The very first Manchester Comic-Con will bring all the magic of London's MCM Expo to the Northwest, whether it's major games publishers such as Nintendo, who, yes, will be making an appearance, or film studios like Universal, yes, they'll be there too. Top comic artists or sports star special guests. I'm pretty much guessing they're not going to be American sports stars, so probably might get a Beckham or something over there. They're also giving away sci-fi collectibles or cosplay competitions they're going to be having. There'll be something there for everyone, they say. It's already hosting hit shows in London and Birmingham right now, Comic-Con. So the MCM Expo Group thought it was high time that Manchester got their own. So if you're a fan of sci-fi, video games, movies, comics, cosplay, manga, anime, make sure you come along to the Manchester Comic Con on the 30th of July. Also, last but not least, those of you who have kids, it's free.
Yay!
Free for the kiddies. This is what they're calling it, the inaugural Manchester Comic Con. They're offering free entry to children age 10 and under. And don't be arguing, talking about my son is just 11. If he's over 10, he can't get in for free. You got to pay. And, of course, if you're unaccompanied by a full... If you're accompanied, you have to be accompanied by an adult. So, kids, you can't just show up, tell mom to drop you off. There is a maximum of 2 children, so those of you who have 8 and 9 kids, sorry, send them with your sister or something. I don't know.
Would you stop telling them how to get around stuff?
Hey, you know, I told you we love the English peoples. I try to help them out when I can. So up on our site right now, you can check out the link to get yourself some tickets. If you want to call the hotline, we also have the number for the hotline. And they have a Twitter as well, MCM Expo. So go follow that. Let us know how you like it. You know, we love our English peoples. I'll send us some stuff. We need some swag from the...
Yeah, send it to us. Come on.
We love you.
Okay, so you know how we're always talking about politicians need to actually game before they start smack-talking us?
Ain't going to happen, but go ahead.
Well, Microsoft is trying to show off some family-friendly Kinect gaming to lawmakers, basically to prove that, hey, it's not all bad. So kudos, Microsoft. Last night, Microsoft hosted the second annual Capitol Hill Family Game Night, bringing its games and technology to the nation's capital, where policymakers and their families learn more about Kinect, Xbox 360, and various games. The event was presented in cooperation with congressional hosts, and there's a whole bunch of representatives listed. I'm not going to go through them.
Yeah.
I don't feel like going through all that. There's from what I can tell, it was a mixture of Republican and Democrat. So, anyway, the event, Yeah. Meh. The event, which took place in the Rayburn House office building and featured the controller-free Kinect for Xbox 360 and such games as the upcoming games Kinect, Disneyland Adventures, and Dance Central 2. Picturing lawmakers shaking their stuff in front of a camera or flying through the sky like Peter Pan is kind of scary, but apparently all involved had fun. I think it's a great idea. Here's a quote for you. New technologies and online entertainment have enabled people around the world to interact with each other in new and exciting ways. This is what Representative Reichert said. Capitol Hill Family Game Night is a great event that allows families, staffers, and lawmakers to learn about these new developments from the talented teams that created them. I'm proud to represent such an innovative workforce in Congress and to help support this event. Members of the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Washington were also on hand to talk about their experience creating games for the Xbox 360. These young people worked for several weeks with Microsoft mentors to create original video games using Kodu Game Lab. Yeah, that's how I feel sometimes. Here's another quote. It's so important we provide our young people with real-world experiences that will help them build a great future. Through our partnership with Microsoft, we are able to introduce our members to technology in a fun, meaningful way. The Get Game Smart program also was a key element of Capitol Hill Family Game Night. The public education program brings together Microsoft and leading children's advocacy organizations to educate parents on the tools and resources available to set boundaries and encourage family dialogue on safer, healthier, and more balanced approaches to digital media consumption, including video games. I think this is a fabulous idea, and I think lawmakers in general need to have more exposure to games so they can see that all this crap that they're talking, all this smack talk they're doing, is not necessarily true. Games are not a bad thing. It's how you use them. It's like everything else in the world. If you use something the wrong way, it can be considered bad.
Very true. Am I muted? Oh.
You are not muted. You are actually talking.
I was like, I'm going to be quiet. I think I'm muted because I had stuff to say. Now I forgot. Well,
get mad, girl. Say something.
Grr, Corey, smash! Okay. All right, so this is very important. We should have probably said this at the top of the show, but sometimes we like to hold off. Interesting thing happened over the weekend, in case you didn't hear, about our games and California state law. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down the California law, says video games are protected as free speech.
Go, Supreme Court! Yeah!
Wait a minute. They need some applause for that.
Oh, yeah. Right.
All right, let me lower that down. We got to get used to these new controls.
Supreme Court judges rock, man.
Well, this is via Engadget and our friends over at Joystick as well. It's already been found unconstitutional by the lower courts, but they decided to push it. California did. Freaking Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, the Supreme Court has finally weighed in on the infamous California state law that sought to ban the sale of violent video games to minors in a 7-2 ruling on the Brown versus the Entertainment Merchants Association case. The Supreme Court said that video games are indeed protected as free speech under the First Freaking Amendment, people. I said that 7 years ago.
Yes, you did, and you're right, girl.
Okay.
And I like that it was an overwhelming majority of 7-2.
That's right.
Overwhelming a majority.
It should also be noted that under the Constitution, aesthetic and moral judgments about art and literature are for the individual to make, not for the government to decree, even with the mandate or approval of the majority. They're saying it's inevitable, perhaps, but still a fairly historic day for us in the games industry, and one that we're guessing will be a bit more positively received than certain other milestones we've had involving video games this year. You can find a PDF floating around somewhere. We're trying to get a copy, but most likely we'll not have it before you get to go read the story. But you did hear it from us. Yay! So we're very excited. That's a great victory for us. Now, let's see if anybody else tries to step up. What else, Shaka? Who else wants some?
What? Bring it!
Yes, and we are doing the whole what?
Yeah, come at me, bro.
Come
right.
Wow. Oh, I love it. I'm so happy to hear this. We don't sound like it, but I'm happy, but it's not unexpected. I knew that we'd be protected.
It's kind of like a duh moment. Really? Duh.
Yeah, of course it's free speech. And it was never anybody's anybody's business to try to tell who what they can't play other than the parents. And again, I'm going to take it further. As I keep saying, I need for you guys in the stores to start collecting IDs from the parents.
Yep.
And driver's license numbers. Their kid comes up in some type of case that has to do with the game, you should be like, see this here, mommy. See where it says rated M, and how old is your son? Oh, he's 5, and he stabbed his cousin in the eye because he was playing Fear. Really? Why was he playing it? Guess what? You're going to jail. Clang, clang. You're going to do his time. How about that?
Did you do the clang? You did not.
I did do the clang, clang. Clang, clang. Mom, you're going to jail. I have to do it. Some of these parents are ridiculous. My son was playing in his room. I kept playing. Why is Xbox in the room? Well, he wanted an Xbox. He wanted it in his room. Okay, who's the parent here? You don't understand. He killed people. No. Let's back it up to the part where you said that his
Xbox was in his room and you didn't know what he was playing.
What he was playing. And it's in there because he wanted it in there. Last I checked, kids don't have jobs. They have no say-so over, yeah. Okay, I'm getting off topic. We'll have to talk about this again on the show. We're going to have to do another parental show, I see.
Yes, we are.
Okay, I think my clock is a little fast, so I think we got a little time.
We do. I have enough time to do a very short one, which I'm looking at right now. Did I just do one? Was that me?
No, that was me. You? That was me, darling, talking about the U.S. Supreme Court ruling.
I've done this show so many times in the past week. It kind of runs together.
It's okay. It's okay. It happens to us, too. Okay. All right.
Apparently, there is still PSN downtime in Japan, and Sony is apologizing for it. Sony of Japan has issued a small statement on the continued downtime to the PlayStation Network and its Curiosity Services Japan. The company had said that it would relaunch both at the end of last month, but that never happened. Sony's new statement offers Japanese players apologies for the long wait and that it needs more time to make adjustments with the various related parties. The company offers no timeline for when those services will return as it attempts to appease customers, the Japanese government, and credit card companies. The holdup relates mostly to Sony meeting the strict demands of the government and credit card companies. So far, it has not managed to convince either that everything is safe and secure. Further, the government wants Sony to explain how it will give customers confidence again that its services are safe. We'll let you know when all blah, 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 whatever. But okay. The thing is, it's still down because the government and the credit card companies are cracking down and trying to make sure that Sony is more secure.
Well,
And I kind of agree with that. I do. I kind of agree with that.
Kind of, maybe.
Yeah. It's a little iffy because they're still withholding something that people are paying for. So, but I can understand on the side of the government and the credit card companies that they just don't want this to happen again. So,
and I can understand too. Well,
I'm kind of on the fence.
We want our things safe. All right, it is time for us to take a short respite, for us to regen some health and stuff.
No, you did not. Okay.
I did. For us to regen some health, pick up some health packs, you know, that type of stuff. Injections, whatever your gaming poison is. You understood all of that. Everybody's like, yeah, I do need to regen some health.
I totally got all of that.
Yeah. Let me go get some coffee. I need to regen some health. I need some
mana. I might go get a snack and regen some health while I'm regenning my mana.
Now, that's a buff when you get a snack for the health. It's a buff.
No. You regen health as you get the buff.
You know what? You're just all kinds of out of order for... You're all kinds of out of order for even trying to break it down.
Girl, I am an MMO queen. I know this stuff.
Right. Now, when we come back, I will tell you what juicy thing that the Xbox COO had to say about Sony and Nintendo and what they should swim in.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a slide up in here. I got $10 on Sony.
Oh, look at this. How about our music? GLaDOS is on the switchboard again.
GLaDOS.
Wow, GLaDOS.
Oh.
GLaDOS, stop it.
What are you playing?
That was a GTA 4 intro song because I am jonesing for GTA. I have to go back to Liberty City this week. I have to.
All right, let me try it. Hold on.
I can't. Look, I'm all angry like it's going to stop me from playing.
I know.
Oh, stop. No.
Oh, okay. All right, GLaDOS is not a... I could sing. You.
This is a triumph.
Are we just going to go silent for a minute because we don't have any music?
Well, I suppose I should start telling you what happened. How long do we have? We should be over in our section in just a few minutes, so I'm going to start telling you because this is juicy. I saw it and I went, mm. The mouth started to water. Oh, this was delicious. Okay.
I need some manna.
Let me regen some health care real quick with this water. Okay, so look. Y'all get close because I have to say this low because, you know, the COO, you know, Dennis Durkin, we were talking about him Thursday. Remember him? And last week? Mm-hmm. He's the CEO and CFO for Microsoft Interactive Entertainment side. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he was speaking to industry gamers, and he said that the crowded nature of the mobile gaming market right now makes it extremely difficult to launch a dedicated handheld gaming device successfully. Now, and the very colorful words that he used was, it's a very, very red ocean whose blood is soiling. And he said, and whose blood is soiling those waters? The Nintendo 3DS. Mm-hmm. He says it sold reasonably well, but it's clearly failed to reach the lofty expectations set for it by fans and previous handhelds from that company. Likewise, he said the PS Vita invites a lot of skepticism from the Xbox chief. He says his excitement is reserved for what Microsoft can do with Kinect and Xbox Live and its unique content. He said you might say it's to be expected that an Xbox exec would be they're saying it would be expected for Xbox to be casting doubt over Sony's great new hope. But what we learned in the process is that Microsoft has no intentions of squaring up its home console nemesis on the mobile front. Not with dedicated hardware yet anyway. So in other words, Dennis, you should shut up. You don't even have a handheld. Microsoft doesn't even have a handheld. And no, the Windows phone does not count. And don't get me wrong, we love us some Microsoft. Don't be hacking me. Don't find me.
We're going to find you.
Yeah, because they could, right? They'd be the one. But I am so – that was just juicy, and that's just going to be a fight. Because, you know, Iwata's going to come out and say something about this as soon as he gets back to him. Because this just came out this morning, people, around 7 o'clock. So it's still early in the day. It's late in Japan. But by the time he comes out, it'll be morning for them. It'll be evening for us. He's going to drop it, and he's going to be like, look here. Boy. I was making games when you was still on. No, I can't say that on daytime, but y'all know where that was going.
You ain't from around here, are ya?
You ain't from around these here parts. I'm being Japanese when he says it. I wish I could hear that. Oh. But, oh, my God. You know, you would think Dennis would have learned from previous people not to step toe-to-toe with Nintendo. You all may not understand what they're doing, but they do, and they do it well. They may not be selling well right now. They just had a tsunami, people. It's really that simple. They had a tsunami. The people there are not able to buy. It's like, do I want water or do I need a 3DS?
Yeah, they want some water.
Yeah, they need to get themselves back on their feet. So I'm not expecting sales to be great there. And here, a lot of you are just Microsoft and Sony fanboys and girls, so you're refusing to look at the DS, but I'm telling you, and I love all the consoles. Let me, you know, I'm talking to the person when we're ribbing them here. I love all my consoles. I think all of them have, you know, whatever it is they do it well. Sony has their great graphics, and Xbox does great community, and Nintendo does great family games, and that's why I have all of them. So what I do know is if you don't look at the other console, if you've never played it, you've never held it, probably not a good idea to decide you hate it. Mm-hmm. I didn't decide anything about the 3DS. I looked at the specs and said it looks awesome, and when I held it at the store, it is freaking awesome. Knowing that it can do all of that and it's in this little tiny package, that it can surf the internet and I can watch movies, it, you know, all this cool stuff, and it's in 3D that I can actually see, is amazing to me. Some of the games I see coming out are amazing. But what I have learned now, even more so than ever, is that some of you out there are just fanboys and girls, and you never even played the Wii. You never touched the Kinect. You never touched the PlayStation 3. You just saw it and decided you hated it. And I don't like that. That's not good for our developers. At least try it first. Walk in and look at it and say, let me see if I'm going to like it. Like, and this is probably going to give us a bunch of letters. I don't like Gears of War. I don't like Gears of War. I think it's a Halo ripoff. Now, is it a beautiful game? Yes. Mm-hmm. Did I play it?
Yeah.
Yes. I think it's probably it's a good game, but it when I'm playing it, all I see is Halo. So I have no desire to go and continue to play it because I've seen all this before. I'm tired of Halo. I don't like Halo because I'm tired of it. It's not that it's not a good game. I'm just tired. I've been Halo to death. So you all have to make your decisions based on what you've seen with your own eyes and hands, not because I never played a Nintendo and I never will, and they got all this Mario on there. I would not play Mario. well, I used to play Mario before, but now I'm grown up, and grown-ups don't play Mario. I'll be damned. I'm going to play some Mario Kart after the show, and I will play the new one, too.
Corey.
What?
Breathe.
I'm rambling. I'm sorry.
Well, somebody saying they don't like a console that they haven't played is just as bad as lawmakers condemning games when they haven't even tried them.
Thank you. That is an excellent analogy. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. So don't be all mad at the lawmakers when you're doing the same damn thing yourself.
Exactly. Well, look, now that I've rambled. More news? Do you have?
Yes, that? Yes. You know, we're talking about all this free-to-play stuff going on, right? Free-to-play. Yum, yum, yum. Apparently, Microsoft is planning support for free-to-play Xbox 360. Yes. According to a report from Develop, Microsoft is now offering support for free-to-play titles on Xbox 360. Several sources close to the situation tell Develop that Microsoft is asking developers to discuss future free-to-play game deals. This is being done behind the scenes for the time being, according to Develop. Microsoft is looking at games that can be monetized by in-game item purchases or premium upgrades, microtransactions for those of you wondering. Microsoft's 360 will incorporate a new microtransaction service that supports the free-to-play model, says Develop. The main thing this new system would support are microtransactions, you think? The bread and butter of most free-to-play game titles. While Microsoft is not commenting on this story, given the large number of high-profile MMOs going free-to-play and Valve's decision last week to support free-to-play titles on Steam and to make Team Fortress 2 its first game to support the model, it makes sense that Microsoft would stick its toe into the water. Sony Online Entertainment's free-to-play MMO, Free Realms, is available on PS3 and was the company's first and currently only game to offer free-to-play on a console. Yes, so those of you who like free-to-play games and have an Xbox 360, apparently Microsoft might be planning on supporting that, which honestly is a good business decision because everybody's going free-to-play. If you don't jump on the bandwagon, you'll be left behind.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Girl, you know I'm right. I'm always right when it comes to this stuff.
No.
Uh-huh.
I don't want free-to-play.
I know you don't want to, and I don't want it either, because I think it's, you know, it's bad for business to me. I mean, I think it looks bad for games to go free-to-play, but it's happening, and if you don't want to become behind the times, you got to jump on it.
No.
Jump on it. Okay.
Like I keep saying, no. Well, as the newest addict of a game called Little Big Planet, I'm very excited to share this, although I won't be picking up a PlayStation Vita. Can only have, you know, can't have too many handholds in this house. Got three things, yeah. Anyway, there's too many handhelds in my house already. I'm serious. Too much. Every time I look around my house, I just see people walking around with things in their hands, and they're staring down into it, and it's glowing. Not that. It's glowy. They're staring down at glowing screens. It just looks like a bunch of ghosts walking through the house. There's no lights on. Everybody just staring into a screen. But anyway, I'm very excited to talk about this, though, and it may force me to pick up a Vita so I can carry my Little Big Planet with me. Sony is currently working on a Little Big Planet for the PlayStation Vita. And, of course, it was revealed at E3 in Los Angeles about 2 weeks ago. They're saying this exciting new studio based in the northeast part of England, which is boasting incredible talent and experience and lovely accents and delicious men. Their startup is now have a staff count exceeding 30, delicious probably all men. Double 11 is the one putting this together. They were formed in 2010 by ex-Rockstar engineers Lee Hutchinson and Matt Shapkar. Yes. And has gone from strength to strength in a whirlwind 12 months. They've had to be tight-lipped about their work for so very long, so they're very excited to be able to tell you what they're doing, which is Little Big Planet. They're saying it's such a fantastic achievement and a privilege for the studio to be working on a project such as Little Big Planet, particularly for such an exciting new platform. I love that they said that. Every press release we get, they always say we're very excited. It's how they start off. But these English men. It's a fantastic achievement. I love it. They said they spent the best part of a year recruiting.
English men.
I know. They said they spent the best part of a year recruiting a crack squad of game development professionals, and they're delighted that they can finally announce it. So it was really great to see such enthusiasm at E3, and they're very confident that they'll be able to do more in the future. And that's from Lee Hutchinson, who's the CEO of Double 11. They are chiefly the technology architects on the project and are working closely with Sweden's Tarsier Studios, who contributed significant content to the last two editions of Little Big Planet on PS3. The initial reaction from E3 PS Vita demo has been extremely positive, and they say they're confident they can do great things with Sony's new platform. And let me just tell you, the Little Big Planet is epic. I had no idea. Y'all have to tell me these things. Little Big Planet, Snow, have you gotten a chance to play that?
I have not. Is it really good? Because you know I get addicted easily.
This is an addiction of a whole new level. There's all these planets to explore. And it's not scary because, you know, our Snow gets scared easily. You do. She's
so cute.
Just
zombies and things that jump at you.
Well, these don't jump at you. It's all kind of, you know, little yarn and things and buttons. It's so cute. But
I do not have to play these.
Well, I don't mean it's cute in that way. It's still, a grown-up can enjoy it, because I am enjoying playing it, but I like all the different worlds, and some of them are user-created, and I tried to create mine. It was too much for me. That was overload for me. I couldn't create my own world. Give me some time, but I'll create something. It'll have a bunch of Gamernatrix and Gamer Girls Radio locals and stuff all over, probably. But
mean and feisty, rawr.
Yes, we can be mean and feisty. I'm going to put a bunch of bats, and it's going to carry up and drop you. You can't die, but you know what? That just reminds me. I think I'm going to tattoo a G on my little ragdoll face.
No,
I think she needs a G, and then she needs the Gamer Girls Radio logo on her dress so that y'all know when y'all see me coming.
She going to find you.
This is Corey's world, isn't it? Look at the G. Look at the G. Yeah, it's me. I'm coming.
Oh, geez.
But epic games. Right. So excited. We got about 3 minutes. Or actually a little more than that. Do it, Snow, do it.
Okay, got one more. I want to give kudos to Lionhead, who is launching an educational program.
Yeah. Nice.
That's right. Fable series developer and wholly owned Microsoft studio Lionhead plans to launch a work experience program for local students next week. The company says that it wants to help build a relationship between the British development sector and area schools in the hopes that young people will be inspired to build games for a living. Students from schools in close proximity to Lionhead can get work experience on-site and will learn about all of the six main disciplines of making a game. Each student will also have a personal mentor to work with, that is the bomb diggity. Here's a quote for you. It is. I would love to do that. The video games industry offers a huge variety of career opportunities, but it is very intense and hectic, says Lionhead producer Gemma Harris. A chick. That's right. It has been challenging to understand how we could afford to offer a really worthwhile experience to young people in a busy, fast-paced working environment. Staff here have worked closely with teachers at Working Sixth Form College to come up with a program which will showcase the diversity, creativity, and excitement of games development. We hope that we will encourage talented students to seriously consider the games industry as a career option. Lionhead's partnership with local educational institutions is one of the guiding principles of the Livingstone Hope Review, the government-backed report on how games education can be improved. It is good to see the studio set up and support its community. Lionhead said in closing that it plans to work closely with local schools and colleges to ensure a steady stream of students are taking advantage of the program. Go ahead with your bad selves, Lionhead. I'm so glad to see that.
That is absolutely epic.
I'm so happy, and that means that we could end the show on a good note.
What? I do wish I could take part, because I love Lionhead Studios with deep and mad passion. I wish they would pick up that game, The Movies, and just revamp it and put it out again. I would so lose many hours of my life like I did before. I have no problem giving those hours to you all. Well, we're out of here, people. We would love to be able to play it. Yeah, GLaDOS still has control of our switchboard. Yeah, so we're just going to say bye-bye.
Hey, I love you. Bye-bye.
And we're gone.